Hello and welcome back to the second season of The Soul's Conquest. I'm super excited for you guys to jump on today's episode because we have another special creative from somewhere in this wide, wide world who is about to share their story, their journey, and their soul's conquest. As you listen to this episode, remember that we are here to inspire, we are here to create, and we are here to conquer. Now let's get on with it, shall we? Hello and welcome to the Soul's Conquest in conversation with Frank. It's such a joy to have you here. As I was telling you, I've been meaning to ask you, but it kept slipping my mind. So I'm so glad you're finally here and we're doing this. You're an amazing creative, but I want you to tell everyone about yourself rather than me telling everyone about you. Go for it. It's your spot.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me on your show. It's always a delight to be on someone else's show rather than producing my own. I am a podcaster as well. So g'day everybody. My name is Frank. I run a business called G'day Frank. Though Frank isn't my actual first name, my first name is Reagan, and I use Frank because it's my middle name. It's my grandfather's names, both my grandfathers. And I started this business as a branding consultancy for small to medium businesses, both here in Australia and abroad. And I've been doing it now for 3 years with my wife. We live in a little idyllic lifestyle of just ourselves, our two kids, and running our own business. We quit our jobs a few years ago and moved away from city life in Sydney, a little further west of Sydney. And here we are now helping businesses create their brand identities, making content along the way as well to market our own business, and just having a lot of fun doing so. So this is me. I also have some podcasts. I won't name them because I don't want to take the limelight away from this podcast, but
No,
we can do that later. We want to get into this conversation, but yeah, I do a lot of different things of content wise, being podcasts, Instagram content, LinkedIn, Medium articles, all the rest of it, which I just enjoy a lot, because it gives me such joy of being able to speak, being able to flex my creativity, all the things that just make me smile, apart from just having to do it for the money. You know, that's my kind of thing. So, yeah.
Wow, that was an amazing introduction. And I think that kind of is like a summary of what this podcast is going to be about, because you kind of said bits and pieces of what I wanted to ask. But I would like to dive a bit deeper. So can you tell us what is it that you create? Like, you know, what do you create?
What do I create? It kind of depends on the day, really. I don't want to do the same thing twice a lot of the time. I think every time I create a system for myself, I'm either iterating on it and making it better or different or something like that. So I'm always learning, I guess you could say. And, you know, without trying new things, you never know what you're going to like and dislike. And, you know, I've tried, you know, podcasts, I've tried videos on YouTube, writing articles, all the rest of it. Whether or not I'm good at all those things, I doubt it. But you never know unless you try some of these things. So for me, from a client perspective, it could be anything from creating a logo for a business or even a personal brand, so for an individual, all the way up to a website, some social media content or banners, things like that, to brand their own content and social presence, brochures, signage. I've even designed artwork for the side of aeroplanes. So there's a very wide gamut here of things that I'm capable of. But what I would do, I would do day to day is focus on helping individuals and businesses brand their offering, making it more about just the product and services they offer. It's to create an experience for their audiences and their consumers to relate to, recognize, remember, all the good things that come with branding.
Amazing. So I want to ask you this one thing, and that is, what is your experience with creating so many different things? You know, like, you have like a wide range of things that you love to create. So how did you get into it?
Yeah.
What was the first thought when you decided to go away? You know, like, creatives usually tend to focus on one thing and they don't tend to diverge. But if they do, it's like a whole another thing, right? Like it's on a whole another
level. Yeah, yeah.
So what was your experience?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I chase the bright light and just go, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. And try those things. Because, you know, as a kid, I was kind of a very hesitant child and didn't put myself out there too much. Didn't play really rough contact sports or anything like that. And I was a little bit more reserved. Now I'm like a bat out of hell. I'll just try kind of whatever. And it scares me. Yes. But for me, what has led to where I am now in terms of a career is I did the whole university thing, 4 years of university, did a design degree, finished at the top of my class, graduated with distinction, all these medals and stuff that people I'd never even met before were giving me at the university. I was like, what is going on? and then I was that really pumped my ego up a lot. So when I went to find a job, because that's the natural progression of university life, is you now go get a job. And for me, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get like the best job ever. Like how could I not, you know, graduate at the top of my class? I would have applied to so many different jobs. I lost count, and I got one call for one interview, and that was it. And I didn't get it because apparently I wasn't qualified enough for a very junior entry level role. And I was like, how could you be any more qualified? And it wasn't until I landed a 1 day freelance job as a designer to come in and help a TV production company. And I'd not heard of them before. I think I'd might have seen their logo before at the end of a TV show that they'd produced. Anyway, it turns out these are the people that make MasterChef and Idol, like really big TV shows around the world. And they happen to have a presence in Australia. Anyway, so I went in there thinking, what am I getting myself into here? What am I going to be asked to do? And it was just a simple brochure to pitch a television show to a TV station here in Australia and get it done in a day if I could. Anyway, I did it in a day. They were like, this is amazing. This is better than anything else we've ever kind of put forward before. And I was like, okay, really? And that led to a couple of days later, they called me and said, we want your details. We want to give you a contract. We want you to work for us. And I was like, okay, so you're giving me a job. And I ended up staying there for 7 years to the day. And that was creating, I reckon, in those 7 years, anywhere between 500 to 600 different identities for new TV shows to pitch to a TV network, both here in Australia and abroad, while also working with brands like McDonald's, with big airlines like Air Asia and Jetstar here in Australia, Facebook, Volkswagen. They're just a silly list of big brands that interacted with TV shows here in Australia. And that, I think, that experience of seeing both sides of something that's completely different to traditional branding of making, you know, designing business logos and things like that, I think has given me a bit of a different perspective of what an identity can be in different contexts rather than just being in a commercial side of things. And it's very rare that I'd get someone coming to me saying, hey, I need a logo for a media company. It's not to say it hasn't happened, but that kind of consistent ask and requirement of me to create new identities just really quickly. Like sometimes I think I made like 20 in a week, I think was my record. And I was just like, I was done by the end of it. I was exhausted. But, you know, you need that kind of level of creativity to come up with new ideas, so much so that it just becomes – you have to be reliant on your process that you know you can get it done. And so for me, I've never had the thought of, I'm never going to get this right. It's always going to work out. And that's progressed with me ever since of it will always work out. And that's how I approach, you know, my design work now and anything that comes my way. If I kind of think, oh, I'm not going to, you know, make our payroll for this month or whatever, I'm not going to have enough jobs coming in. I sit down in the dumps and then 2 seconds later, I'm way too busy and it just kind of works out and you go through these peaks and troughs and that's where I've got to. It's, I think you just got to kind of trust that things can work out as long as you're prepared and open to opportunities and prepared to put the work in and go for it. So that's, it might sound very hustly doing it, but I think, you know, running a business with a family to feed at the end of the day, you've kind of got to do everything and anything you can to keep things going. And it can be a real stressor, but I think until you run your own business and have to support others other than just yourself, you'll soon realize what your capacity really is. You go to that next level where you just like, oh, if I told myself what I was doing 5 years ago, I'd just laugh at future me and going, you're kidding. Like, no way would you be doing that. Whereas I'm just like sitting on the couch watching Netflix or Game of Thrones with my wife, no kids at that stage, and just going, oh, this life's so hard kind of thing. It's like, no, man, you can do so much more. You never know until you try.
Wow, that was an amazing piece of advice. I have a lot of things to ask you from it, but I want to ask you first and foremost, how did you start? How did you get into design? How did you get into creating brands? And why is it that you create brands? You know, like, if we just pick up that from your wide range of things, why is it that you create brands and how did you start?
Yeah, I guess the design journey of things, that inception story started probably, like, if it was way back. I recount this story a few times to a few people, and it's when I was a kid, I would draw with pencils and a bit of paper, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And my mum had encouraged it and goes, oh, here's some more, you know, paper and here's some more pencils, whatever. Do your thing. It keeps you quiet. This is before iPads and iPhones and all the rest of it. Yeah. And she encouraged that. The best part of that was that my grandmother had no idea about any of this stuff. And I'd start talking in the back of their car. They'd take me for a drive or something. And I'd be talking about Raphael, Donatello, Leonardo, and Michelangelo. And here's my nan thinking I'm the most intelligent child she's ever heard because I'm talking about all these Renaissance painters and artists and sculptors. And it wasn't until my mum sort of leveled her out and just said, look, it's a cartoon, they're turtles, they're just named up. And was like, oh. Yeah. So he's not that amazing. He's very creative, but he's not that intelligent. Okay, fine. Where I'm leading to with this is that when I was in high school, I always still had this keen interest in doing art and visual kind of things. Maths and sciences and English just wasn't my jam at all. And it wasn't until I was 15 that my art teacher introduced me to Adobe Photoshop, which we all know now, but this was back in the day when it was sort of first come out, and it was very limited compared to what it is and what it's capable of doing now. But it was just like a whole new world for me. And this is at the same time where I've seen like animated movies, like Pixar movies, like Toy Story and all those that just captured my attention. So I was like, I want to be an animator. I want to do these graphic things. I don't know how to go about doing it. And I thought, what am I going to do at the end of school life? Can I be an animator? That looks pretty hard. Or I really like the idea of advertising and creating ads and things like that, because there's a level of creativity there and I can apply it to a commercial sense and make some money in a different way. So my kind of thought was, let's do a design degree, learn those fundamentals, because I didn't learn them in high school, and see how that progresses. And at the end of it, apply for some ad agencies, apply for some work experience in marketing places or design studios or whatever, and go from there. None of that happened. And as I said before, I worked in a TV production company. So it was a very different route, but still the idea of advertising and marketing and logos and branding to the extent that I know it now, it wasn't something I really thought about all that much back then, back when I was in my full-time job or even prior to that in university. It wasn't something that was overly talked about. Branding wasn't, like, logo design wasn't really a big, huge kind of thing like it seems to be now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess once I realized what I was doing in that job for 7 years, I was creating logos. I was creating an identity for a show, a certain tone and feel. I was like, this is something. And then I see, you know, brands like in front of me, Apple on my computer screen, there's an Apple logo winking me in the face every day. They're everywhere. And I'm like, I know all this stuff. I know what they're trying to do now. I've just like, there's this enlightenment or something. And in the back of my mind, there was always this desire to do my own thing. I'd as much as I didn't feel like going into that job every day was an absolute chore, I never had that feeling. It was always, I get to do design for a living. This is great. But there was always that thing of, I want to do my own thing. So once we'd had our, once I got married, once we'd had our first child, I said to my wife, look, I want to quit my job and start my own thing. And she was like, do you know anything about business? It's like, no, no idea. I need to figure all this stuff out. So look, I did my due diligence for 7 or 8 months leading up to mid-2018 and, you know, sought advice and counsel from legal advisors, business advisors, accountants, all the rest of it that, you know, you really should be doing to get things off the ground. And look, I quit my job June 30, 2018, started the business July 1st, 2018, and have been going ever since, and just picked up branding as something that delights me every day to do, and trying to help someone and really have a lot of skin in the game of bringing that to life as well. I find great delight in that. It's very self-obsessive, but it's also something that you can see what that tangible end result is for somebody, even if it might not be a logo every time. It could be some more intangible things here and there, but it's just seeing that change and seeing that impact and having some part in someone else's success, I think is really a big joy.
Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, you're most welcome. I wanted to ask you, how important do you think it is for creatives who are starting out right now to go to a design school or go to university or, you know, do that? Because I've seen a lot of people just be like, you know, you can learn far more things online than you can by paying university fees, student loans and all that.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. I have a two-sided dilemma in my own head. My university experience was great. Nothing really against what I paid for. Would I do it again? No. In the current climate that we're in, no. And for what my career progression has been, no. Having said that, though, if I was to have gone more in line with traditional ways of being in employment, a lot of the time there's that tick box that HR recruiters always look for is a tertiary education. For the life of me, I don't understand why it really matters, but it shows some due diligence that you've at least done that commitment of 3 to 4 years of something that all the rest of the people in that business probably have done as well, be it a business degree or, you know, whatever the industry is. So look, if you go into that, that might be just a prerequisite of that employment. If it is, then consider it if you have the means to do so. I got to say, I'm still paying off my university degree to this day. It's been 10 years since I graduated and I'm still paying this thing off. It's not all that much left, and I could probably pay it off with the money I have in my account, but I'm not going to do that. They can wait. But if let's put it this way, if my son wanted to do exactly what his dad did right now, he was 18 and he finished high school and said, Dad, I want to do what you do, I want to create logos, I want to be a designer, I want to be a web designer, whatever it is, in 18 years, you never know what it's going to be. I'd say don't worry about university if that was still a thing. Go do something that you can find online. That's how I would approach that kind of question.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much, because that did give like two perspectives of, or like, you know, how would we say, two sides of the same coin kind of a story. Thank you for sharing that. I want to ask you next, what do you hope to achieve before starting a new project? Now, whatever project that might be, whether it is something that you're doing for yourself, you know, in terms of educating people, or it is something that you're doing for your client.
Okay. I've never been asked that question. That's a very interesting question. I started with really enlightening right there. I guess for me personally, I think I treat it a bit differently to how I would with a client. For me, I don't think too much about what the result is going to give me. I think it's more thinking about the other person. And what I mean by that is that I don't put things out there in terms of the creativity 100% for someone else. It's for my delight as well. Like, I don't do it unless I enjoy doing it. If it becomes a slog, it's just not worth the time. And I do it because it just either fires me up because maybe I'm being a bit passive aggressive about something in particular, or I just find so much delight of putting a camera in front of my face, setting up all this gear and lighting that I have, and creating something for the fun of it. Whereas, you know, if it's for my audience to learn something from, I always want to put something in there that makes it purposeful, that someone can take away something rather than it just being gratuitous and gloating about mm-hmm. something or whatever it is I'm doing. So there has to be that kind of duality. If I can do that, then great, I'm ticking that box. For a client, on the other hand, I mean, at the end of the day, they're paying me for a result, so it's a little bit different. And so I have an obligation to meet their requirements and go above and beyond. So what I'm thinking of is, they're going to pay me this amount. How can I go above and beyond what their expectations are going to be? We can have everything down on paper about what they exactly need, but how can I add that little bit extra to make it worth their while? So that they, that way they're surprised or they're delighted at the end of it to want to tell someone else about it. So you try and go above and beyond where you can. You make it a process that's as seamless as possible, but I just want to try and make it as simple as possible, so it's not something that they have to really worry too much about. If they're paying me a considerable amount of money that I can't even afford myself to do something like this for my own personal, you know, projects, if I had to charge myself, then yeah, it's something that I want to make sure that they can trust what it is I'm going to be doing for them, and make it a no-brainer, let's say, and really know that what result they're going to get out of engaging with me is going to be worth their time, money, effort, and hopefully the minimal amount of effort as possible, because this isn't their territory. It's mine. The weight's on kind of my shoulder here, and there is a considerable amount of weight on a client, but they only know what they know, so I got to kind of guide the ship in a way that makes sense. And I find that extremely challenging, to be able to articulate what's in here into something that they're going to understand. And a lot of the time it's going to have to be visual. So, you know, you need to know how to bridge that gap. And that's my challenge each time, is how can I bridge that gap with my clients? That's how I approach both of those kind of scenarios.
Amazing. And what do you hope people who are viewing your project post completion will feel like? Like, one emotion that they should feel every single time you put something out there?
I don't know. I mean, from if it was a fellow designer looking at the work that I've done, hopefully it's inspiring. I'd never want a fellow creative to think, like, to be feeling jealous that, oh, this guy's done such good work, my work doesn't look as good as that. Please never, like, if you're listening to this and you see my work and that's how you feel, I hope you don't. Because we run our own race. We're at different levels. We're at different styles. Comparing creatives is very, it's a very bad mindset to have. And we're all human. That's going to happen. It's not to say that I've never compared myself to other creatives, but
yeah.
I think this is the thing that to keep you at a humble kind of level here, is that if you're a designer, you are more than capable of creating the Nike swoosh or the McDonald's M. Like, physically, you have the capability to read, like, make that. If you can do that, you are capable of making something just as great. A logo doesn't become great until their business becomes great. I learned that very early on, and I did have an interview with the man that designed the Apple logo. That was back in 1977. He didn't know what it was going to become. He doesn't have that burden on his shoulder of making something amazing. Like, it's not as if Apple's going to turn around to you tomorrow and say, "Hey, Frank, you interested in redesigning our logo?" I would not take that job on. I really wouldn't, because it'd be crazy. For a client to see it, the emotion that I would hope for is a kind of a thing is, this guy knows what he's doing. It's not really one word or a specific feeling. Maybe it's trust or something like that, or maybe reassurance that what they might have seen in other things that they might have seen on my social media about what I talk about, what I have opinions about, is that I have something to back up what I say I can do with something that's tangible that I've done for someone else. I'm on this kind of rampage at the moment of walking the walk, not talking the talk, and showing that work. So I hope that a client can feel reassured, maybe that's it, that I'm someone that they can trust and want to work with and, you know, align with. So yeah, that's how I would have, that's what I'd hope for, let's say.
Cool. Why is it important for you as a creator that you know, your fellow designers feel that inspiration from you and your clients feel that reassuredness from you, or that trust from you?
I think probably most of us are seeking validation in some way, shape or form. I think that's probably a very natural feeling to have, that we want to be heard, we want to be you know, loved and adored. It might be very superficial at a level like this on social media, where you don't have that connection like you do with your spouse. Like with my wife, it's a very different kind of connection of those particular things. But you can't help but feel that if you put something out there, that you'd want a reciprocal response that is what you're hoping for. But you don't always get it, and it can pull you down a peg, and you go, oh, why did I bother? And it can really bring your spirits down. Why I put it out there is, I mean, I need to tell people that this is what I do. I offer this, and if I don't do it, then I don't receive the work. Like, it's the cat and mouse kind of game. I've got to put something out there to, you know, receive something. But at the same respect, I'm not expecting hundreds and hundreds of people to come at me and go, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. That's not going to work. That's setting false expectations. So what I'm hoping for is just enough to plant these little seeds in people's minds, to occupy that little bit of space in their brain, so that when the time comes that they need someone like me, that I'm that person that they think of. You'd call that positioning and branding. That's pretty much what I'm trying to do, is to show up every day as much, or maybe not every day, but as much as I can, in the capacity that I have, to instill, you know, a sense of who I am, what I know, what I can do, what I've done for others. And, you know, hell, if you like my personality to boot, then fantastic. Let's work together. And if the price is right, you know, let's make something happen. So yeah, it's important, because it's got to keep the business going. But if I didn't have a business, I said to my wife, like, if we won the lottery, like there was a big, like nearly, I think it was like 80 million Australian dollars, which is probably like, I don't know, 50 US million dollars or something like that. I'd quit my job, but I still would put this content out there just to kind of share this stuff and have some kind of purpose. So maybe it's another level of, rather than just making money, which is what branding should be, or building a brand should be, is that you have a purpose of being so interested in this kind of thing that you, if it's passion, if it's just adoration for what it is you do, or the love of it, or it's an addiction. I don't, this is it. I'm fighting with these different feelings about what it is, but that's really why it means something to me, that, you know, I guess one other part, a level of you here with you with this is, I didn't go into it expecting to form relationships with other creatives. I thought it was just going to be a two-way street between myself and business owners. And then designers started chiming in, saying, hey, great work, great perspective, I really like what you said there. And it just perpetuated. And they get these like messages from people saying, oh, you're a real branding expert. I'm like, I've been doing this for 3 years. I am nowhere near an expert. I'm flattered. But I appreciate the connection. I appreciate the trust and admiration or inspiration that I may somehow exude to you. And maybe you learn something through osmosis of me trying to talk to a client, and you as a designer see that and learn something from it. Fantastic. That's a great result. So I've made some amazing connections with fellow creatives that has either led to work or led to great, you know, relationships, you know, as friends, as colleagues, as everything that you probably have in a workplace. which we don't have the luxury of doing as a solo business owner. So yeah, that's what keeps me going, I guess, is the answer. It's a very long-winded answer, but yeah.
No, no, it was perfect. I love that answer a lot. You said something about perspective, and I've been meaning to ask you this question, and that is how important. I feel like as creatives, our job in the world is to share our perspective, which is really important, especially right now, to share our perspective with the world in hopes that someone out there viewing your stuff understands at least 5 to 10% of your perspective. If they can relate to that, that's more than enough. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, because I think there's a line that you cross at some stage where you absorb a lot of information, mm-hmm. and then what happens, especially in social media land, is if you do create content, you'll probably regurgitate that information to share with others, because you can't help not. Like, you get all this information, you get so excited about it, it unlocks this thing, and you're like, I just want to tell people about it. You want to jump on your soapbox and tell people about it. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem, I guess, with is if you don't synthesize that information and then utilize it, put it into practice and show how you form your own opinions and how it impacts what it is you do, and have something, you know, to show for it. So yeah, if you're not practicing what you preach and having that perspective of taking in the knowledge that you receive either from real world experience or from literature, you know, content, whatever it might be, and not utilizing it in some way, you know, you can have all these ideas, but they mean nothing unless you execute on them. So, you know, I think perspective is everything. And the other kind of spectrum of perspective, I guess, is having perspective on what it is that you, what it is you are capable of and what it is you're able to do. Because I think a lot of the time when we see others online, especially doing all the amazing things. And I put out a post just the other day saying, I did all these things last week. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's so much. Like, that's amazing. That's such inspiration. And I was like, the perspective is here is that you can do all these things if you want to do all these mm-hmm. things, but you got to realize where you are in the race. You know, your race is starting, someone else's is maybe finishing or halfway through, or they're just an absolute marathon runner and you're only doing a 100-meter sprint here. That's all you've got your eyes on. They've got their eyes on a real long game. That I'd like to feel like is me. My perspective is this is a marathon. Mm-hmm. I've got another 40 years in me of working at this, hopefully less. See how we go here. Of working to fulfill what I need to do in life, I guess. So it's, for me, it's a marathon. I'm not looking for thousands of followers and millions of people admiring me and all the rest of it. I'd rather not, because I know what burden that can have. So perspective is realizing what's going to make you happy, you know, knowing your place in the world and what it is you have to offer. And, you know, a lot of the time we take for granted what it is we know and what our opinions are and what our experiences are, and bring that to the table. And I always have to get reminded of that by certain people. It's like, you have all this experience, you know all this stuff, you can put it out there. Why are you not putting this out there? Why are you not doing this? And it's like, all in good time. I'm here for the jog. I'm not here for the sprint. Like, I'll get there. Don't worry. I'm enjoying that process. And that's, I guess, my perspective, on how I do it. I see people running the fast race. That's okay, because there's some things in life that just need to be run real quick. But yeah, it's not to say that you'll see me sprinting. It might look like I'm sprinting, but I'm trying to run my own race here, and it's hard to see it that way. I have a post-it note right in front of me on my computer here that just says, look in the mirror, that's your own competition. And that gives me some perspective of not, you know, having that dreaded case of comparisonitis, where you're just comparing yourself to others, and it's just, comparison is a thief of joy. That's another quote that I just have instilled in me from Theodore Roosevelt, I think it was. So yeah, it's hard work getting that right perspective. It takes time, and I hazard a guess in 5 years' time, my perspective will probably change quite a bit. But that's, you know, realizing that you're on a learning curve. So Yeah.
That was inspirational.
Oh, please.
Okay, so you said that when you were starting out, you faced a lot of rejections, and I wanted to speak about obstacles. So I want to ask you, as someone who is just starting out in their creative journey, what would be something that you could tell them when they are facing these self-rejections, which is quite common right now, but like, you know, when you are in university, everyone is, you know, racing to reach the finish line, get a job, do this and this, and it seems very easy from you know, from outside, but when you are doing that, when you are in the struggle of doing that, it gets very disheartening, it gets very depressing. So what is something that you would like to tell to someone who's starting out right now and is facing those rejections?
Yeah, I guess the positive outlook, if you can live your life like this, it'd be very hard to do so. And I've heard this quote, I don't have no idea who it's by, but it's like, for every no, it's one step closer to yes. Mm-hmm. And if you live your life with that glass half full mentality rather than the pessimistic glass half empty, that way you're going to look at life a little bit more positively and have a better outlook on life and not really get yourself down so much that things aren't working out right now. Mm-hmm. As I said a bit earlier in our chat, I feel like life has a weird way of working out a lot of the time. It's not to say that there's going to be some real heartache along the way. Life is hard. There's a lot of challenges, be it your own health, be it, you know, world events. I think we've all been very well understand what a world event, you know, has an impact on our lives just individually as much as it does everybody else around us. So I guess for those of you that are listening and are facing rejection, know that you're not the only one that is facing rejection on a daily basis. I face rejection countless times. I'm not kicking goals every single day. I'm even getting rejection from my own children a lot of the time. So, you know, if you look at it that way, you know, life's full of no's and life's full of yeses, and you got to be open, I guess, to the opportunities and see an opportunity from a mile away and be prepared to take it up. So if it's meeting someone new that you think might not be kind of the person, but you're open to have the conversation anyway, you never know what could lead from that. Maybe not now, but maybe in the future. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a great example at the moment. Whether or not it turns out to be a fairy tale is yet to be seen, but I had a guy reach out to me on LinkedIn a year ago, pretty much exactly a year ago. And he saw me from some content and it was like, I really like your page. I really like your content. Is there a portfolio you have to show me? I was like, yeah, for sure. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for connecting. Here's my site. You know, reach out anytime. And I didn't hear from him ever again. And that happens every now and then. People just, you know, disappear and go off and do their own thing in life. You know, fast forward to a year later, so only like a month or two ago, he gets back in contact and says, I have a job for you, a very big job for you, and if it carries through, it will be my biggest job I've ever done in my business. And you kind of never know. And from that perspective, is I guess if you present yourself with that open arm of opportunity to always, you know, have a smile on your face and put your personality out there and not reject other people, I guess. So if you do what you hope to receive in return, I think in some way, shape, or form, it will work out. I hope for you. I'll say this though, that I do have privilege of where I do live, of my skin color, of my upbringing. I recognize that not everyone has that. Everyone has their story, and it's a lot harder than what mine has been. That's not lost on me either. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, but you live in Australia and you have no COVID there and you had, you know, good upbringing and your parents are well off and all the rest of it, I get it. That's not lost on me.
Yeah.
But you know, if you are going through some tough times, if you aren't, you know, at the end of the day, if you're listening to this, you have all that you need. You have a phone in front of you. You can do a lot with a phone. Mm-hmm. Nowadays you can do a lot with a computer. You just need to figure out what works for you and keep, you know, pushing through all the no's to get to that yes that you're looking for.
Amazing. I'm really glad that you accepted, you know, like, it's very, oftentimes I see a lot of creatives, myself included, right? Like, I'm a writer from India, and it's not like opportunities just open up for me, especially because I want to work with people in US and Canada and Australia. So it's like, it's a very long distance to cross. And it's like, okay, you know, I have to put in the work to achieve what I want to achieve. But a lot of times you face rejection. So you're like, should I just give up? But then, you know, again, there's like that, you know, like that itch you have to scratch. You have to like, no, you go out there, you put stuff out there, because that's what what's important. And yeah.
Yeah, it keeps you going. Like, if you have that fire under you, that you just... You has to keep, you know, it just keeps you moving.
Yeah.
Then let that fire burn. Yeah. and keep going. As fanciful as that sounds, and it's not all that realistic in terms of putting into real world context. It's a lot of, you know, altruistic kind of thoughts and whatever. But you know, if you know what you want, mm-hmm. you need, and you come from a background that is not as forgiving as others, let's say, and you don't have that leg up that others have, and you see others have around you, you're gonna have to work obviously double, triple, quadruple as hard to get there. But look what others are doing, learn from those successes. Success leaves clues. Again, that's another quote.
Yeah.
I have no idea who said it, but you know, from that perspective, see what those people that are doing successful things are doing. And if you're ticking those same boxes, you are showing up on camera, you are showing your portfolio, you are presenting yourself on social media, you are articulating yourself in a way that people can trust and understand.
Yeah.
And you know, look at you and go, that's someone I want to invest my money in, kind of thing, or my time or my effort into. Yeah, that's what you need to do, and it's all on you. Someone's not going to give it to mm-hmm. you. I mean, I'm not. No one's giving me money here for nothing. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's no free lunch. Yeah. Put it that way. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep. I want to ask you, what are some of the obstacles that you faced in your journey, and what were the solutions that you came up with to overcome those obstacles?
I guess it's not knowing what you don't know. Like, for me, if I've not known how to do something or get through something, it's taken that little bit extra time to get past it
mm-hmm.
and work it out and figure it out. And a lot of people, I guess, that I've connected with think that I've got it all figured out. And I wrote on a comment on someone's post that said, no one has got their stuff figured out.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely, I'm trying to figure this out every day. And someone replied to that knows me and says, nah, man, you got this down. I was like, you don't know, like, you don't know what someone else is trying to go through here. And you know, maybe we're winging it. Yeah, maybe we're faking it till we make it, whatever, however you want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, there's a lot of things that I've learned from, in terms of my career, some little failures here and there and they're not monumental failures, but just, you know, and they're not a huge blemish on my character in terms of, you know, those career things, but there are obviously things I want to do differently mm-hmm. if I, you know, had the opportunity to go back yeah. and do those things differently, and maybe, you know, work a little bit harder back when I was a bit younger as well, when I had the time and the effort to do so, and you know, see opportunities and just take a punt, I guess what you'd call, on some of those opportunities. But there's nothing overly from what it is I do now that I think hasn't made me who I am now. I think you got to sort of take everything that you've done in life for good or bad and just roll with it. You know, we all have regrets, but I'm not one to single out one particular thing that just is like, because nothing's going to change. You can't change these things. But
yeah,
there's not really an example here that's going to be helpful for others, because it's very unique to me. Yeah. That you're going to learn from here. So yeah, I'm speaking very highbrow here of how to kind of approach it and just realize that everyone makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you learn from that mistake and move past it yeah. that really counts.
Yeah. that does count a lot. You know, as this is a spiritual podcast, I think it would be awesome to know if you have any spiritual or self-care routines while you're working on a project and in your daily life, if you're comfortable with sharing that.
Yeah. I'm not a very spiritual person by nature. I was brought up in a religious family here in Australia, but that was just born into that. It's not something that I really quite align with now as a grown adult. But in terms of, I guess, my process, I want to put myself in a situation where I am comfortable, mm-hmm. Where I'm not worried about other things as much as possible. That's very hard to say when I have two kids in it. Family to support, but you know, all I'm striving for here is happiness. So if everything that I do can work towards that mm-hmm. every day, then fantastic. If it's as simple as playing a nice relaxed playlist on Spotify while I work, great.
Yeah.
If it is to put on a video or Netflix on my second monitor while I'm working, just a bit of indulgence there, eat a bit of ice cream while I'm doing some work and whatever. That's just these little luxuries that get me set. I'm not one to meditate. I'm not one to use mindfulness kind of things here. Mm-hmm. I hazard a guess later in life when I get a bit more, mm-hmm. get more past it all, I might have a little bit more time to do those kind of things. But at the moment, I'm focused on trying to do the very best I can for everybody involved rather than just myself.
Yeah.
And everyone says to me, you need to take care of yourself. It's like, yeah, great. I will have that time to do so. I had my time to myself as a kid, as a teenager, and as a 20-year-old. I'm in my 30s and 40s now. It's time to work hard and then I can rest when I need to.
Yeah.
For me, spirituality, I can see the benefits of for those that find happiness from it and belief in it.
Yeah.
I've never one to discount someone's, you know, ways of being. So you got to run your own, you know, race there and do what makes, you know, you happy there. So that's how I do it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. I want to ask you, what is one of your soul's conquest and what is shaping up to be your current soul's conquest? And what I mean by conquest is just the fact, like, you know, you have a goal in mind, the journey you reach. If you have reached that goal, good to go. You know, you have finished like this sort of side quests in your life, if that makes any sense. Yes.
Yeah. Let's roll with it. Let's see how I go. I would say that what me and my wife are working towards is obviously to support our children and bring them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make your own bed with children. You're responsible for two beings that are a little bit helpless to begin with, but need shaping and need forming. And mm-hmm. we're still trying to work that out. So our kind of life goal together as a husband and wife is to make each other happy, obviously, but sort of nurture that relationship that we have with our children and watch them grow and shape them into, you know, good little humans. But for us as well, like collectively, I don't see it as just my own goal in life. It's got to be a collective, otherwise it kind of doesn't work and it's very one-sided, is to, you know, just have that, if it's the American dream, but in Australia, you know, you own your own home, you have an idyllic, calm, peaceful lifestyle that's just nice and it can be relaxing when it needs to be. It can be an escape when it needs to be. Those kind of things, what you're doing, what you enjoy. And I feel like I'm halfway there at the moment doing what I'm doing. And if we can keep it going, it will work towards that goal and it will always, you know, for me, work out. And I hope that it does work out at some stage, but again, I'm not rushing it either. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll happen when it happens. Yeah. I feel like the time is right in certain respects. So, you know, if I die a man that is married, mm-hmm. I have my children still beside me and maybe some grandchildren beside me, then fantastic. Yeah. Like, I'm a very simple person.
Yeah.
I gotta say, but yeah, I'm not looking for, you know, to be the billionaire with the cars and all that kind of, that's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't have those kinds of ambitions. It's just to live a simple life, live within my means, do something that makes me happy to do. It might not be designed for the rest of my life. It might be something completely different at some stage. Who knows? There's several chapters in life ahead that you never know, but
yeah.
It's just to, you know, to be happy, to have, you know, the health at least as well at the same time, and yeah, just enjoy it. Enjoy the process.
That was so beautiful. I loved it. What is the one thing that has happened in your life recently that has impacted you?
The birth of our second child, our daughter.
Yeah.
First time round, it was a bit of a whirlwind with our son. Yeah. It was just, it went by very quickly, and now he's nearly four. So now we have a 7 month old to today. It's a 7 month kind of since she was born, and she's a very different personality. Every time I walk in the room, her face lights up, and it's just like, oh, I'm now kind of appreciating this at a whole other level. And that face lighting up is, it keeps you motivated in a way that, I mean, it's not to say my son didn't either. Like, there was always that motivation there. But when our son was born, I didn't have this business. This didn't happen until he was about one. So this time round, it's like, okay, now I've got two, and how are we going to figure this out? And they're going to obviously grow up and having to support them for the rest of life is a challenge and a, you know, a challenge in a different way to what business is and showing up and on camera and doing fun things and all the rest of it. Yeah, it's that thing that changes your life and you have no idea what to expect or what to do. And that can be exciting. It can be fearful. It can be all the things. But, you know, I think lean into those challenges the best and put your best foot forward. And that's what I'm trying to do as best as I can. That's me there.
Okay, so one last question. What is the one last thing that you would like to leave my listeners with?
I always want to do a different kind of golden nugget at the end of each podcast that I'm kind of on. I would say this. I would challenge you to do this. If you look at people online and you go, I could never do that. I could never get in front of a camera. I could never share what it is I want to share or what I know or what I can do with others. It scares me. Lean into that and try it and just see how it feels and put it yourself out there in a way that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, but at the same time it excites you a little bit and you find something in return. It might not be hundreds of people engaging with you. It might just be that one person that likes that and you go, oh, that's what that feels like. Okay. Those kind of things is just something different in life that you have this opportunity. If you have a phone and you have these social media platforms, depending on your view of them, if they're good or bad, you know, you never know unless you go. It was a big tagline here in Australia for a tourism campaign. You never know if you never go.
Yeah.
And if you look at other people and you have some criticisms of what it is they do, but you're not prepared to do it yourself, try it first and see what it does for you. Because from my perspective, putting myself out there has not just got me clients, not just made connections with people. It has grown my confidence to a level that I didn't think I had. To be able to step up in front of a mic here on your show here and not have any preparation, but to be able to share what it is I share off the top of my mind, out of my mouth, and make it articulately understood or understandable, that's what it's done for me. And that has, you know, progressed out to how I interact with my clients, how I interact with my family, and to even just random strangers that I will meet. I never liked meeting new people, but now if I'm put in that situation, I'm kind of feeling like I'm the first person to put my hand out to shake their hand in a COVID safe environment when you can do so. Otherwise it's like a fist bump or just like an elbow bump. So that's what I'll leave you with there, that challenge of putting yourself out there just to see if it's something for you and just to try something new if you've never done it before.
Thank you so much. This was such a wonderful conversation. It was genuinely so enlightening. Thank you so much for coming out here, sharing your story with everyone listening in whenever they listen to this podcast. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. It's a very cathartic experience talking about your own life.
Yeah, but it was amazing. Thank you so much. Super grateful for you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Conquerors, thank you for staying here till the end. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, today's story, and today's journey. If you did, please feel free to rate and review me on Apple Podcasts or reach out to me at Instagram at Madhurima, that is MADHURIMA _soulcoach. Feel free to take a screenshot of the newest episode release, tag me, and put it up on your story with your review so that I can feature you on my Instagram. It would be my honor to do that. It would be my honor to share your perspective on what you thought of this beautiful podcast. Remember, we are here to inspire, we are here to create, we are here to conquer. See you. Bye.